As protesters topple Confederate statues and others they find offensive, President Trump signs an executive order to protect them.
The president announced what he calls a very strong order to protect the statues after police stopped protesters from pulling down a likeness of Andrew Jackson near the White House earlier in the week. The order calls on the attorney general to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law the destruction or vandalization of a monument, memorial, or statue. The president also said he would skip a trip to his New Jersey resort this weekend, tweeting that he wanted to stay in Washington to enforce law and order. Jan Johnson, Washington.
State delegates are trying to protect Baltimore City's Columbus statues after black activists threatened to topple them. Delegates Kathy Schlega and Dino Mangione wrote to Baltimore City Mayor Jack Young and Governor Larry Hogan asking them to protect the city's Columbus statues.
These priceless statues need 24-hour guards until the crisis has passed.
He says anyone who attempts to destroy the statues, which he says are a point of pride for Italian Americans, should be prosecuted. D.C. takes a major step towards statehood yesterday. The House cast a historic vote, advancing H.R. 51 to the Senate with a 232-180 vote. The bill's champion, Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, says her great-grandfather escaped slavery from Virginia and walked to D.C.
A walk to freedom, but not to equal citizenship. For three generations, my family has been denied the rights other Americans take for granted.
Maryland Congressman Andy Harris says the district doesn't need to become its own state. It could once again become part of Maryland, and then
every single one of those residents would have representation in Congress.
The celebration will likely end after this. The Republican-led Senate and White House oppose D.C. becoming a state. Very concerning. That's how Montgomery County Police described dozens of social media posts made anonymously by Montgomery County high school students who say they were sexually assaulted by classmates and staff. Captain Tom Jordan.
We became aware of some postings on social media, as well as the school system became aware as well, referencing allegations of sexual assault with some Montgomery County high school students. So we're trying to follow up on it.
Jordan says the police department's hoping victims file reports with them so they can get the facts they need to investigate the alleged incidents. Superintendent of Schools Dr. Jack Smith writes in a letter to parents that students have reported the alleged incidents to the school system and they will be investigated. In sports, the NBA and its players have signed off on final terms to restart their season.
Among the final details, no fans will be present at any of the games that will be held at three different arenas at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex in Orlando. 88 seating games, 8 games for each of the 22 teams, starting on July 30th. Health and safety protocols have been agreed to, important as at least 10% of all coronavirus tests in Florida have come back positive for 10 straight days. During the first wave of testing, 16 of the 302 players tested Tuesday came back positive. I'm John Stolness.
Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
It's everything you need to know Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with Dave Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. Hear The Wise Investor at 9. Dr. Tom Rosell Live at 11. Purity Products at 2. Mortgage Radio at 3. Real Estate Today at 7. And at 9 p.m., it's Lawyer in Your Corner with Ryan Wilson on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In the district, any reports of an accident now on Southern Avenue, just south of South Capitol Street in Southeast, so use caution there. Also in the district, do keep in mind that the 3rd Street Tunnel is closed today northbound between Massachusetts Avenue and New York Avenue for some construction. Detours are posted. This should be in effect till 6 o'clock this evening. On 270 southbound at Shady Grove Road, you will still find the two right local lanes blocked with the cleanup from the earlier vehicle fire. Now from GarageJoyRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Expect partly cloudy skies on this Saturday. It will be hot and humid. Highs in the mid-90s. Feels like close to 100 degrees. Have a couple of chances for some stray afternoon storms. Tonight, partly cloudy, muggy, lows in the 70s. A better chance for storms on your Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy, still hot. Highs around 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM,
WMAL. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, 7 o'clock hour. I'm Rick Bonner. John Gizzi joins us each week. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Rick.
All right, summer weekend in the nation's capital. We start to unwind at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. But no, not John Gizzi. 8-11 Friday night, he gets an executive order from the White House. What did it say?
Protecting American monuments, memorials, and statues, and combating recent criminal violence. Very simply, this provides for the Park Police to protect federal monuments, such as that of Confederate General Albert Pike, which was torn off its pedestal last week and is being restored. It also reasserts what is already in federal law, that violators of a federal statute or memorial can receive up to 10 years in prison for this act. And again, it empowers the police, the federal park police, that is, to do the protection and the resulting arrests if need be. Now, again, all of this is all codified under U.S. code. The president simply underscores it and, in the process, lives up to his promise to protect the monuments.
Well, John, it started out as primarily statues of Confederate generals, but it has spread to Ulysses S. Grant statue toppled in San Francisco, attempts to topple the Abraham Lincoln statue in front of the Capitol.
Henry Olson, a syndicated columnist in the Washington Post and a visiting scholar at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, said it best, it's lunacy. Lincoln, of course, did the most of anyone in history to see that black Americans were given equality, and they assault his statue. General Ulysses S. Grant, Olson notes, probably did the most of anyone after Lincoln to make it a better place for black Americans. He led the majestic defeat of the Confederate Army, declared war on the Ku Klux Klan when he became president, and he oversaw the reconstruction of the South with equality for all. And this is the person whose statue they want to take down. And, of course, it spread to other people. We've seen various assaults on statues of Christopher Columbus, people reminding us that the founder of the United States was also someone who brought slavery to this country, and forgetting conveniently, he discovered America. One can go on and on, but it's really reached a point where destruction of statues is equal to anarchy at this point, because the people obviously don't care whose statues they destroy.
We had primaries this week, John, and a couple of very interesting upsets, including one incumbent from New York that's not coming back.
Elliot Engel is clearly one of the most powerful members of Congress and the senior Democrat from the Empire State of New York, serving 31 years in Congress. As chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, he's someone people listen to on Capitol Hill. But back home, he got clobbered in the Democratic primary last week, losing his Bronx-based seat to school principal and political newcomer Jamal Bowman. This was part of a pattern we saw in Democratic primaries throughout New York. Mr. Bowman is someone who never held office before, had the strong endorsement of Bernie Sanders, and stood four square for universal health care. That was enough for people to drop their 31-year congressman, Mr. Engel.
And the fate of another veteran Democrat still kind of twisting in the wind at this point.
Yes, Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney won the so-called Silk Stocking District of New York, New York's 12th district, in 1992. Now at age 74 and after 28 years in Congress, she was in the fight of her life. She faced a stiff, well-funded primary challenge from hotelier Suresh Patel. As of yesterday, Ms. Maloney held a lead of 482 votes over the insurgent Patel, with 109,000 absentee and mail-in votes waiting to be counted. I might add, Mr. Patel is someone who campaigned for Medicare for kids, for child care subsidized by the government, and identified with the Black Lives Matter movement. Carolyn Maloney, a friend of Hillary and Bill Clinton's, was someone who voted Democratic, but also made the mistake more than 20 years ago of voting for the crime bill that increased the incarceration of Black Americans. It may have cost her her seat. We'll find out after June 30th when they begin counting the absentees.
A very different kind of upset in North Carolina. A 24-year-old wins. I thought you had to be 25 to run for Congress.
Well, Madison Cawthorn, whom you mentioned, will turn the constitutional minimum age of 25 in August. And that's more than enough time for him to get elected and be sworn in. It was a major upset. This is the seat that White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows gave up to move over to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. His candidate, Linda Bennett, led in the initial primary, and along with the backing from Mr. Meadows, she was supported by Senator Ted Cruz, the House Freedom Caucus, and Donald Trump himself, who tweeted a hearty endorsement. But Madison Cawthorn had a story, and that was a story of overcoming the odds. A few years back, he was named to the U.S. Naval Academy by Congressman Meadows. Then his dream of becoming a naval officer was dashed in a near-fatal car crash. Undaunted, he began to work on his own recovery. And though he was paralyzed from the abdomen down, Madison Cawthorn learned to use a wheelchair and developed a lot of other interests, reading history, cooking, and hunting. Brochures show the young conservative in his wheelchair brandishing a hunting rifle and accompanied by his hunting dog. That was enough to energize people and move them to go to the polls, where he won by almost a 2-to-1 margin. As he said, I don't have a lot of time to wait, pointing out that his near-fatal experience showed him that getting in Congress at a young age was something he needed to do. He is someone who's surely going to be watched if he's elected this November and talked of as a future leader of the Republican Party. Madison Cawthorn, nominee for Congress in North Carolina's 11th District and a true overcomer.
For decades, there's been an effort to have the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., gain statehood. It made it one step closer this week, but probably won't get much further up the staircase.
No, it wouldn't. You know, I find as a not-so-young correspondent, Rick, that so many things that I covered years ago return, like old reruns of a television series. In 1993, statehood for the District of Columbia, and with it two senators and a House member, were voted on by the House of Representatives. It went down in flames, 277-153. Well, time and events change, certainly. And given some of the racially charged events of the past month, it's no surprise that the same measure, D.C. statehood, with the accompanying representation in Congress, will probably pass next week, resoundingly. It already has 225 co-sponsors from both parties. Now, it should be pointed out that Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution all but rules out statehood. It refers to the District of Columbia as the property of Congress and the permanent seat of government in the United States. The Supreme Court in 2000 upheld a lower court ruling saying that based on that constitutional definition, the district did not merit senators or House representation. And Congress, in turn, has taken its lead over the years from that decision. If you want D.C. statehood, you've got to change the Constitution. Now, in 1977, Congress did exactly that. Two-thirds of the House and Senate voted for a constitutional amendment to give statehood and congressional representation to the district. The problem was that it never got the 8 states necessary to ratify the change in the Constitution. So now they're trying it another way, saying the district would become the Commonwealth. This reporter's guess is it will pass the House and probably lose in the Senate, and it will come up next year no matter who's president.
Debate on Capitol Hill on police reform. Action in the House and action in the Senate. And Senator Tim Scott very vocal about things this week as his legislation did not see the light of day in the Senate.
No, the Democrats were adamant on pushing in the House a measure that would have some tough edges on it. For example, it would ban chokeholds everywhere, the chokehold being a very risky and dangerous measure to hold down alleged criminals. It was what finally killed George Floyd of Minneapolis. It also guts much of the immunity that policemen have in the pursuit of criminals. And though this is where the Scott measure differed from it, it did provide for complaints against police, but it did not limit their immunity in any way. Democrats were having none of it. And with the votes of 3 other Republicans, they went ahead and passed the tougher measure. This reporter's guess is that it will not see the light of the day in the Senate, and very much like the D.C. statehood issue, it won't go away.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Thank you as always, John.
Thank you, Rick, and all I can say is, resting up for another long week of major stories and major coverage.
And we'll be watching your Twitter feed, too, on Twitter at John Gizzi. We're at 7:18. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, looks like that road work on 95 southbound between Garrison, Villa Quia and Courthouse Road has been picked up and delays have eased in the area. Also, you keep in mind that on 395, the express lanes are closed for a weekend road work between Springfield and the 14th Street Bridge. Seeing a little bit of a slowdown on the BW Parkway on the southbound side, a little bit past 198, we're getting reports of a crash, so do use caution in that area. Traveling on 270, you will still find the right lane of the local lanes closed just after Shady Grove Road with that vehicle fire cleanup. Now from GarageDroidPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies on this Saturday. It will be hot and humid. Highs in the mid-90s. Feels like close to 100 degrees. Have a couple of chances for some stray afternoon storms. Tonight, partly cloudy, muggy, lows in the 70s. A better chance for storms on your Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy, still hot. Highs around 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees in the nation's capital. It's 7:19 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Eric Stewart. He is the founder of the Eric Stewart Group, of course, the host of Pointing You Home every Sunday morning. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Rick. Good to be back.
You have one of the area's most successful real estate firms. What have you seen in terms of the impact of COVID-19 on the market? We've seen the roller coaster in the economy. What does it mean in real estate?
The real estate market is providing welcome relief right now for home sellers as the demand is outstripping supply and prices are up about 7% around the DMV.
Home prices up 7% in this economy?
I know. It's a striking antithetical situation. You would think that we would see real estate slowing with current economic factors, but the interest rates are below 3%. We're looking at 2.75%, 2.875% fixed rates right now, Rick. So the cost of actually purchasing has dropped significantly, which is making it more affordable, and that's with stable income in our area due to the federal workspace and other good jobs that we have in our area. Buyers are out shopping, and demand is forcing prices higher. I'm seeing it across all price ranges. When you get up over $1.4 million, $1.5 million, there are less buyers looking in that range, but everything south of that is pretty well on fire.
It really is amazing with the unemployment numbers, furloughs, businesses closing, whether temporarily or even permanently, that we see these housing prices in this area. How does the D.C. area compare nationally?
Well, I think it's really, like I said before, it's really supported by these low interest rates and by the stability of our local economy. I think that there are many places in the country where home sales are down. They're off maybe 5% based upon the economic factors being buoyed to some degree by the rates and the lack of supply. Let's remember something about the D.C. area. We're in a shortage of current supply and will probably be so for the next 8 to 10 years. So as what is coming on the market is coming, the demand is still there for what's available. If we were to see a shift in our local economy, I still think the demand would outstrip it for the time being. Rick, we really trying to focus on the process of selling a home or buying a home during COVID does require some shifting in our thinking, especially for our home sellers whose houses have a lot of stuff. They don't know how to get rid of it because the places that they would donate to are all closed, and a lot of the places that might have taken things to auction are not doing auctions except for maybe online. So we've created a series on how to buy or sell in the COVID-19 pandemic. This is a very well-articulated webinar. It's a must-attend event and is at ericstewartgroup.com. If you're listening and you're thinking about getting ready to buy or sell, do attend, because we will cover the three arcs of a home sale, from timing, pricing, and condition, and how you can deal with those three within the COVID-19 environment. There's nothing else out there right now that will teach you how to approach this process, from interviewing a realtor to how can you do virtual staging to how can you handle the financing as well as proper pricing within the market. So it's great. You go to ericstewartgroup.com and sign up there for our how to prepare, how to buy, how to sell. It's all there at ericstewartgroup.com on the homepage.
You've always been a trendsetter in the real estate market here in the Washington area. What do you see as the differences when you're trying to buy and sell homes with the COVID-19 impact in terms of masks and social distancing? And what are some of the hurdles and how do you overcome them?
Well, pivoting back in March with my team, in the first part of March, I said to the team in our team meeting, guys, get ready. We are about to go into a storm. We ordered masks and gloves and booties and other things early, and were able to source all of those things and have been able to operate. We sold 20 homes in April, Rick, and we've sold almost 93 or 94 homes this year in the midst of this pandemic, which is really a credit to my team, Eric Stewart Group at Long & Foster. And that's the pivoting is, how do you handle a buyer coming in? How do you provide for the needs? How do you train your sellers to make sure that they're protecting themselves while still allowing for showings? How do you handle condo sales when buyers are not willing to go into condos the same way they were just 6 or 8 months ago? How do you handle selling the condo, living now, to give the buyers assurance that living there is not going to be unsafe because the fear is of getting something from COVID? You know, I'll speak to that if you don't mind me just taking one more second on that. Is we've seen a shift in mentality because of COVID towards the suburbs, and a focus into areas that were languishing to some degree are now really hot. because there's a little bit more room, a little bit more separation, single family living, those kinds of things have become more popular. Interesting, where the pivot had really moved towards the city for many, many years, it seems like at least temporarily COVID has shifted the attention to being out and being a little bit more apart from other people.
Those webinars can offer a lot of really important information at this time. And give us the specifics on time and date and how to sign up.
Oh, great. Yes. Yeah. So if you go to ericstewartgroup.com, you will find on the homepage the sign up for our webinar. And there are three legs to this webinar. And again, timing, pricing, and condition. You'll find multiple dates going forward, depending on what your interest is. If you can attend one, we do have a general one, which covers all three aspects in general. And then we do a deep dive into each one more specifically. So if you're worried about getting the house ready, go to the How Do I Prepare one. If you're worried about timing the market, maybe you're out a little bit further in the future and want to know when is the best time to sell, go to the timing one. If you're focusing on pricing, I want to make sure I price my house correctly. You know, they're all three great, but all different focuses, all good and definitely worth signing up for at ericstewartgroup.com.
Eric Stewart will be tuned in tomorrow morning for Pointing You Home here on WMAL. Thank you very much for being with us.
Anytime, Rick. Have a great day, everybody.
And you too. It is 7:26, Saturday morning update. Of course, Eric is on Sunday mornings, 8:30, Pointing You Home, 8:30 to 9 a.m. And we're at 7:26. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Life as we know it has been a real roller coaster lately. Whether you find yourself sofa surfing, stress eating, or both, it's easy to let healthy routines slide. EMP 180 is here to remind you there's never been a better time to get healthier in every way possible. Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and they're pleasantly busy over at EMP 180, helping others just like you, as so many decide to change their health through nutritionally based weight loss. You too can improve your ability to fight off illness, feel stronger, and be empowered to live a healthier life. EMP 180 helped me to lose 40 pounds in only 4 months, and I've kept it off. And with EMP 180, you've got options. Choose safe one-on-one appointments, 100% remote consultations and coaching sessions, or hybrid appointments. Call today to find out what's best for you. Now is the time to change your life and get healthy, and EMP 180 can show you how. Go to EMP180.com or call 855-888-0180.
When you're stressed, you just don't feel like yourself. New Natrol Relaxia, a full line of drug-free supplements to help you manage occasional stress and anxiety. A special blend of herbals keeps you feeling calm and balanced throughout the day. Because when there's less stress, there's more you. Try New Natrol Relaxia. Learn more at RelaxiaMood.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
7:29, you're listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. And we're going to be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer coming up next, right after the news. And then we're joined by K.T. McFarland. And, boy, some interesting conversations upcoming on those FBI notes from Peter Strzok and also the John Bolton book and... Wow, what's going on in Fredericksburg? I don't know if you heard about this, but we're going to get into something quite interesting with Tony Schaefer if you hadn't. So stay with us.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. daily coronavirus cases nationwide spiked to an all-time high of 43,000. One of the states being hit especially hard, Florida.
New infections skyrocketing. Thursday, statewide, 13% of those tested came back positive. In Osceola County near Orlando, 23% positive for the virus. In Lee County, Fort Myers, nearly 20% positive. In Miami-Dade County, 14% positive. And in Broward, nearly 12% positive.
Correspondent Miguel Marquez. A Mount Airy nursing home where an outbreak of coronavirus broke out in May is being fined $70,000 for not properly isolating newly admitted residents to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The Baltimore Sun reports state health regulators fined Pleasant View Nursing Home, where the virus infected 126 residents and staff members and caused 29 deaths. In sports, the deals are done. The NBA is coming back. The season will resume on July 30th at Disney's ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex in Florida. The Wizards play their first game July 31st against the Suns. All teams will be staying at the Disney campus for the rest of their seasons. And the 95th Virginia Gold Cup will be run today. You can't watch in person because of the pandemic, but you can watch online. It will be live streamed at 12:15. Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
The people who refused to listen were the people who were supposed to listen.
This is the time to listen.
We are the voice of the voiceless.
I feel like the president is not listening.
All of us should listen.
Let's start talking and let's start listening to one another.
Now, are you listening?
What is it that America's failed to hear?
Hear the latest.
Simply hear us.
You will be heard.
With 105.9 FM.
People are listening.
You should listen.
WMAL.
Our homes today are like little cities full of different interneting boroughs, like the entertainment district in the living room or the virtual fitness center in the garage. And Xfinity Internet keeps it all running smoothly with the fastest speed to power all your devices at once. You get coverage around town, from the financial district home office to the spa. Plus, get added protection to help keep your Wi-Fi network safe, like an at-home police station.
Xfinity Internet keeps your little city humming with reliable speed, coverage, and added security. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. You'll get fast, reliable speed, and the best in-home Wi-Fi experience with Xfinity XFi. And now you can get advanced security free when you get the XFi Gateway. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay and 72120. Restrictions apply. New customers only. Limited to Performance Pro Internet with up to 200 megabits per second download speed. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
An accident being reported southbound on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway between 198 and 197. Traffic is slow through that area. Watch for one lane to be blocked. You'll still find some accident activity in the district on Southern Avenue, north of South Capitol Street. Earlier incident, though, on 270 southbound at Shady Grove Road. Everything has been cleared. All lanes are open and traffic is running at speed. In the district, keep in mind that the 3rd Street Tunnel is closed for road work between Massachusetts Avenue and New York Avenue, but you will need to follow those posted detours. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly sunny skies on this Saturday. It will be hot and humid. Highs today into the low and mid-90s. As we head later on this afternoon, a couple chances for some isolated storms. Those will diminish as we head after sunset. Partly cloudy, muggy tonight. Lows in the 70s. For Sunday, partly cloudy, we will see a better chance for some afternoon storms. Still hot. Highs around 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima. on tax relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
.735 Saturday Morning Updates, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart, also the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me. Always great to be on.
Thank you. Well, national debate about defunding and disbanding police forces. Minneapolis taking a step further yesterday in their city council meeting, voting to disband. Still opposition from the mayor in Minneapolis. We saw chaos in Portland, Oregon Thursday night. Violence, looting, and vandalism. Police say a group of protesters set the Portland Police Bureau's North Precinct on fire while people were inside. That's just one example. We're going to get to Fredericksburg, Virginia in a minute. But the chaos is unbelievable, and it continues.
Yeah, and it's all designed to undermine the trust and authority and the ability of the all local governments to maintain order. And it has absolutely nothing to do with black lives. I think it's been notable that in CHOP in Seattle, a black man was murdered in the area. It's kind of like, they don't really talk about that. And if you want to talk about Black Lives not mattering, just look at Chicago. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of violence this weekend. So what we need to do as a society is actually look at why this is going on. And the common denominator in most of these cities is progressive leadership. Fredericksburg is one of the ones we're talking about in a second. It's all about in these places where they have put the interests of radical leftists, which are essentially a form of Marxists. These guys are essentially communists. It's the very type of political philosophy my generation and others fought during the Cold War. And the idea is very simple. They want to replace the existing government with one of, quote-unquote, the people. And it sounds like 1917 in Russia all over again. It's all about trying to give all this power to individuals who are not in government, and it will result in the same bad result. Complete removal of any democratic process and subjugation of humanity. And that's what they're trying to do. And we have politicians who have allowed this door to open, the leadership of all these cities. So notice, Rick, that most Republican-run cities don't have this problem, nor do I think they'll have this problem.
So let's talk about Fredericksburg, Virginia. I know it's becoming more and more of a suburb of Washington for commuters, but Fredericksburg is kind of your typical small town, or at least it has been in the past. This is a 911 call in Fredericksburg this week, and this is on YouTube. Check out this audio. And Tony, you brought this up on my radar screen. This is unbelievable.
They're on my car. Right? They're on my car right now.
But we would suggest you slowly drive through the area. Don't hit anyone with your vehicle.
I can't. I cannot get out of here, okay?
Be patient, but I'll let the officers know, okay?
Are you serious?
The city told us that we can't do anything, ma'am. The city told us that this is a sanctioned event.
Get out of my car! You know, this is going to get dangerous. I got a kid here.
Yes, ma'am. It was just that you call up City Hall to let them know about your frustrations.
Get out of the way!
Just amazing. Tucker Carlson had it on Fox the other night as well. So, Tony, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. We can't help you. We've been told not to. Think about that. My advice to the woman, sadly, move to Stafford County, just north of you where they have law and order. This is sad. And this is what's going on. Again, think about what happened there. That is based on a policy decision by the mayor, Mayor Greenlaw, who apparently is a progressive. And she actually, the mayor did eventually apologize, but not to the woman, to the protesters for having bothered them with actually having someone upset about them jumping on her car and endangering her life. This is where we're at. And I don't know what it's going to take before, you know, we see more murders, more destruction of personal property. I'm sorry, this is not American. It's not what we who have served in uniform signed up for regarding oaths of office. And it's tragic. And the voters need to pay attention to this because someone voted this Mayor Greenlaw into office. Someone voted these people into power, and come November, they're going to have to make some decisions about, do we really want to have 911 and police not respond or not be there at all? That's the path the left wants to take us down at this point.
So I want to turn to an opinion piece that you've written at townhall.com. Headline on it, yeah. John Bolton is far from a whistleblower, and he has been all over the media this week. Your thoughts on John Bolton?
Yeah, and I did some other interviews. Look, there's two things which I think are apparent that people ought to be paying attention to. One is obvious. He says all these very troubling things about the president, which from all accounts, people who were in the rooms with him say it's not true, especially regarding China. That's number one. So you'd have to ask if this is true, why would John have held this back during impeachment? Because, you know, he said he wants to be have the president gone. That would have been the way to do it. So he didn't do that. And secondly, the issue of classified information. I do believe, based on what I've been told, that there are specific instances where he reveals information relating to strategy or technical capability. It's going to get him in a lot of trouble. I've been told that he should expect formal suits to go after his profits. This has been done successfully before to others who did not complete the security process, and that's the key, Rick. He didn't actually complete the detailed security review process that you have to. Now, your audience probably remembers I did a book, Operation Darkheart. The government went out and bought the first 10,000 copies. Well, the reason they bought the copies is because I did complete the process. They actually had no options because I did everything legally, so they had to go out and buy them. This is the opposite of what happened with John Bolton. And my editorial kind of lays out the differences and why John has really used his position of trust and authority for purposes of personal gain. There's no other reason for him to hold back on the China information except he wanted to sell books. And that's what he's trying to do.
Wow. Well, we can refer you to Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer's opinion piece, and that is at townhall.com. And, Tony, it's always good to have you on the show. Very much appreciated.
Sure. Thanks, Greg. Take care.
You betcha. 7:43, Saturday morning update on WMAL. We'll talk to KT McFarland coming up next, but first, a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Watch out for accident activity now on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway southbound between 198 and 197. A single lane gets by that crash, so use extra caution traveling there. Also, you may still find some accident activity in the district on Southern Avenue, south of South Capitol Street. And in the district, keep in mind that 16th Street is closed north and southbound between H and K Streets in Northwest until further notice for the ongoing protest activity. Also, do watch out for some road work right now on New York Avenue between the 3rd Street Tunnel and 1st Street. Two lanes get by in each direction. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies on this Saturday. It will be hot and humid. Highs in the mid-90s. Feels like close to 100 degrees. Have a couple of chances for some stray afternoon storms. Tonight, partly cloudy, muggy, lows in the 70s. A better chance for storms on your Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy, still hot, highs around 90 degrees. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees in the nation's capital, 7:45 on the Saturday morning update.
Proud to be Washington's home for Rush Limbaugh.
This program has provided me the greatest satisfaction and happiness.
105.9 FM.
It is a family.
WMAL.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m.
The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, staying at home has taken a toll on us. It's time to fight back. If you're ready to get back to feeling free and physically great again, we'll send you a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC and Walgreens. Yes, we want every man in America over 40 to feel stronger with more energy and endurance. So we're giving away complimentary bottles of Nugenix Total T. You can get yours right now just by texting BREAK to 321321. Nugenix has the patented key ingredient Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase muscle mass. Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance. Text BREAK to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text BREAK to 321321 right now. Text BREAK to 321321. That's BREAK to 321321.
7:46, it's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by K.T. McFarland. She is the former Deputy National Security Advisor in the White House in the Trump administration. She is the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. And she has worked in a number of administrations serving our country and serving our presidents. K.T., good morning. It's great to have you with us.
Good morning.
Peter Strzok was in a meeting at the White House. We're talking the first week in January. This is during the transition. The meeting reportedly in the Oval Office. President Obama is there. Vice President Joe Biden is there. National Security Advisor Susan Rice is there. Others in the national security infrastructure. James Comey is there. Peter Strzok is there, according to the report and according to Peter Strzok's notes, which are out now. And in those notes, Peter Strzok says in the notes, James Comey makes the comment that the Kislyak call, the Soviet ambassador Kislyak, the call with General Flynn that created the legal hassles for General Flynn as well as a lot of other problems. Comey says in the meeting, according to the Strzok notes, the call was apparently legit. How'd that make you feel when you saw that?
Well, it confirmed everything I figured, right all the way from the very beginning, that there was never anything to this, that, as I told the Mueller people and everybody else, that Flynn's call was appropriate. And, you know, what it now shows is that these people in the Oval Office, in, quote, if I can quote John Bolton, the room where it happened, that... that they
knew
about
it. That's the first time the title of the book has ever gotten on this show, by the way.
And rightfully so. that they knew from the very beginning there was nothing to it. But why did they do it? I mean, did they hate Trump so much? Were they so convinced that the American people had made a big mistake in electing President Trump that they were going to destroy his presidency before it even began? I mean, to me, you know, when people say, oh, move on, General Flynn is exonerated, he's free, justice is served, you know, you can move on with your, everybody should move on. No, I don't think so. Because what happened in that room was the senior people in the intelligence community and the senior people in the Obama administration decided they didn't like the outcome of the election and that they were going to undermine a presidency before it even began. And they were going to cook up a scheme to trick Trump, to trick everybody, and to use their connections in the media and in the intelligence community to really do what I think amounts to, as Attorney General Barr says, it was a coup. It was a coup against a duly elected president. So I think that this is gets at the heart of what American governance is all about. We the people, we're supposed to be in charge, not some guys in Washington, not some guys in the room where it happened, not some guys who think they're smarter than the rest of us. We make mistakes, we the American people. We may make a mistake, but the great thing about democracy is we correct ourselves at subsequent elections. If they didn't like the outcome of that election, fine. Work to get another guy elected in 2000 and 20. But don't undermine the guy the American people have just chosen, because in doing that, they're undermining the right of the American people to decide who governs. And to me, that is the fundamental heart of democracy. It's not something you want to move on from. It's something that speaks to who's really in charge in America. The guys in Washington, the permanent bureaucracy, the people who think they should be the 51st state, or the people around the country and around the nation. And I think that, you bet, it kicked me in the gut. It didn't surprise me, and I certainly hope the country wakes up to what's been happening in Washington.
Well, what about accountability? You know, if you look at this whole thing, it's disgusting, but as you look at this, here they rack up General Flynn on these charges about a telephone conversation with an ambassador, and he's the incoming national security advisor. So you would think that it would be normal for him to have a conversation with Ambassador Kislyak. You contrast that with what Comey did, what Strzok did, what apparently President Obama and Vice President Biden have their fingerprints on now based on this meeting, because they're knowledgeable about it. Where's the accountability? As you say, we're not just going to move on, but will these people, any of these people, be held accountable for the destruction they've done to the Trump administration, the personal destruction to General Flynn?
My hopes rest on two people, and that's the Attorney General, who I think is a man of enormous principle and character and personal courage, the likes of which we've not seen in Washington in decades, and also John Durham, the attorney who is looking and is investigating the investigators. If they come up and say, business as usual, well, let's move on, then I really do fear for the future of the Republic, because that means the bad guys have won. It means the establishment has won. It means that the Washington insiders, the permanent bureaucracy, the intelligence community, their co-enablers in the media, that they're really running the country, and they'll never be held accountable. Now, whether people are charged with crimes and go to jail, to me, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I can't tell you the ins and outs of the legal manipulations and procedures. But what I can tell you is that these people violated the sense of the Constitution of the United States that says that we, the people, have the right to govern ourselves. They decided they were smarter than the American people, better equipped to govern the nation than the choice of the American people, and then they set about to do it because they had the instruments of power within their hands. At a minimum, I think these people should be shunned and discredited. I hope they're held legally accountable for what they did, because there's now increasing evidence they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew that there was no Logan Act violation. They knew it was a sham. They knew there was no Russian collusion. And yet they ripped the country apart. Not only did they try to destroy the Trump presidency, but in doing so, they ripped the country apart. They put us at each other's throats. Washington has never been more divided. So then when the triple whammy hit us between the pandemic and the lockdown and economic dislocation and now the social unrest, we were already a tinderbox just waiting for the spark. So I think these people have a lot to answer for. I hope they someday have to answer for it, because what they've done is something that really hasn't been attempted in the United States since maybe Benedict Arnold, where the people have really decided they were smarter than the guys who were supposed to be governing.
We talked to Jim Trusty, the attorney, earlier this morning, and he was stunned at the lineup of the people in that meeting. The fact that Peter Strzok was in the Oval Office in a meeting like that, discussing a case like that. He was stunned by that. And I just wanted to get your sense, because, you know, you've written so much in the book about how things took place at the White House, the way things work at the White House. And does that lineup of that meeting surprise you or shock you in any
way? Yes and no. I mean, the very next day we met with the same intelligence officials at Trump Tower in Washington. So they were all getting their marching orders on January 5th. And it was the senior leaders of the intelligence community and the senior foreign policy leader, Susan Rice, the vice president, the president. And they were sort of crafting what they were going to do and what their plan was going to do. In fact, even Vice President Biden came up for the first time, anybody mentioned it, the Logan Act. Nobody knew what the Logan Act was. When the FBI guys and the Mueller people met with me, they said, did I know what the Logan Act is? And I said, yeah, but only old-timers know about that. It was something that was discussed in the Johnson and Nixon administration, and maybe again a little bit in the transition between Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, but nobody's talked about the Logan Act for 40 years. Well, now we know where it came from. Joe Biden, who'd been in government when the Nixon administration was in office and when the Reagan administration was in office, I mean, before some of these people were even born, he was the guy who came up with the Logan Act scam. And so now we realize that it started with Joe Biden on January 5th in the Oval Office. Let's look at the Logan Act. And then it showed up in a David Ignatius paper column in the Washington Post 10 days later. The Logan Act. And then the Logan Act was used as the justification for the Mueller investigation. At least that's what the guys told me. And when the Mueller people met with me, they laughed about the fact that they had to go scurrying to their law books to look up what it was because they didn't know what it was. And I think we now realize why, because there was nothing to it. There was never anything to it. And, you know, the thing that gets me, Rick, is that the Democrats are trying to pass this off as, well, it was just somebody, you know, low-level guys, not the guys at the top. Low-level, mid-level guys, they're not going to investigate and prosecute a sitting president. They're not going to wiretap his top national security advisor. They're not going to try to infiltrate the presidential campaign of the opponent. These were decisions made at the very top of the administration of President Obama, particularly in collusion with the intelligence community. The Clappers, the Brennans, the Comeys, the McCabes, the guys who were saying in sworn testimony to Congress behind closed doors, look, we hate to admit it, but there was nothing to the Russia thing. And then they were scampering out of those meetings and running to the media saying, oh, Donald Trump, he's a Russian agent. He's a stooge of Putin. He stole the election. You know, I guess to me it speaks of the absolute vile corruption of Washington. Washington's always attracted the arrogant and the ambitious and the venal and the vile. But this to me is, you know, a whole new level.
K.T. McFarland, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People, and a really, really strong insight into the Washington establishment, the bureaucracy, Trump's efforts at a revolution, and how it has so shaken Washington. And you know, as we can see from our conversation in the last 10 minutes or so, the efforts to thwart Donald Trump's efforts to, you know, bring reforms and change the way things happen here in Washington. KT, thank you very much for being with us. And you can pick up KT's book on Amazon, of course, and that favorite bookseller. And there's a Kindle version on Amazon. If you're inspired right now to grab her book, go to Amazon.com, get the Kindle version. KT, as always, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
It is 7:58. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAO. We've got Garden Sets coming right up after the 8 o'clock news. And very much appreciate you being with us on the Saturday morning update.
We're a country with so many voices, yet some still struggle to be heard.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
This is a reminder of your standing invitation to the table.
Thanks for being my voice in all this.
Let your voice be heard.
I'm an American who happens to be black. I cannot stand the term African American. I was born in America. That's all I know.
On 105.9 FM.
Bringing unity back to our nation.
We're Americans, right?
WMAL.
Since 1994, AmericanEagle.com, a family-owned web developer with over 500 technology professionals, has helped their clients weather many economic uncertainties. AmericanEagle.com knows how to leverage today's technology, delivering solutions for e-learning, remote business communications, e-commerce, and digital health, optimizing every organization's potential. Their world-class data center hosts thousands of websites and millions of transactions. In times like these, a reliable partner has never been more important. AmericanEagle.com provides a full range of integrated services, including web design, system integration, digital marketing, and hosting. This too shall pass. We will be stronger when the crisis subsides, and AmericanEagle.com is committed to building your organization's digital presence, driving growth and opportunity. Call AmericanEagle.com at 703-WEBSITE. 703-WEBSITE.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, wherever the mission takes us, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for our nation, for us all. The few, the proud, the Marines.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.